إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى أصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All praises due to Allah, and as such we praise Him. We seek Allah's assistance, and we ask Allah's forgiveness, and we seek refuge with Allah from the evil within our souls and the consequences of our bad deeds. Verily, whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whosoever Allah allows to go astray, then none can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of our worship except Allah alone, with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. May Allah exalt his mention, grant him peace, his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path, until the day of judgment. O you who have believed, have taqwa of Allah the way He deserves it, and do not die except in a state of submission as Muslims. Brothers in Islam, among the qualities and the characteristics which distinguish us from the rest of the creation, the rest of the religions, and the rest of human beings, is the quality of balance. Balance is found in Islam, and it is not found anywhere else, even though people may claim otherwise. And when we speak of balance, we have a different dimensions with which we can tackle this issue. However, the only one which is acceptable is the one that was taught by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It came in the form of a dua, a supplication, which was narrated by Imam Muslim from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa ardah. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma aslih li dini alladhi huwa ismatu amri, وأصلح لي دنياي التي فيها معاشي، وأصلح لي آخرتي التي فيها معادي، واجعل الحياة زيادة لي في كل خير، واجعل الموت راحة لي من كل شر. لا إله إلا الله. If we were to reflect on this particular dua, we will understand the reality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the understanding which Allah had given him concerning our religion. So we will follow his footsteps, and then we will be rightly guided as he was rightly guided sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, O Allah, rectify, aslih, rectify or correct for me my religious commitment, because it is the foundation of my life. The most important thing on the list that he began with sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the religious commitment. How much do you adhere to Islam? Are you a part-time employee, or are you a full-time employee, or are you fired altogether? Evaluate yourself as I evaluate myself. The most important thing is the religion. Rectify and correct my religious commitment, because it is the foundation of my life. Then next he said, and rectify and correct for me my worldly affairs, because in it is my livelihood, my existence, my survival. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah to correct for him and grant him good in the hereafter, because to that is his return, and to that is my return, and to that is your return. three elements. Then he went on to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and make my existence, my life, means of attaining all that which is good. And make my death means of comfort from all that which is evil. If we understand this narration, we will understand the purpose of life and we will never go off track. And even though all of these supplications and all of these elements require a discussion of their own, but it appears that we always tackle from this minbar or otherwise the elements of the religious commitment, which without a doubt are the most fundamental and the priority. However, today inshallah, we'll be looking into the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and rectify for me my worldly affairs, because in it is my livelihood. You see, brothers in Islam, even though these seem to be three different topics, they are one in fact interrelated. Because if our religious commitment is not intact, then our livelihood will not be intact. And if our religious commitment and our livelihood are not intact, then the hereafter for sure will not be intact. So there's a relation between them. One completes the other. One aids the other. And for us to be truly religiously committed, we must first deal with the fact that our livelihood is according to the standards of Islam. In particular, our earnings. The money that you make, the car that you buy, everything related to that which will aid you in remaining alive and surviving. Is it halal, lawful, or is it haram, unlawful? Why is it important? Because in Sahih Muslim again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Allah had commanded the believers with the same command He gave to the messengers, that we should eat from that which is lawful, halalan, tayyiban, lawful and good. Then he mentioned, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلُ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرُ أَشْعَثْ أَغْبَرْ يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَا رَبْ يَا رَبْ وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامِ فَأَنَّى يُسْتَجَابَ لِذَلِكَ. He mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man on a long journey. And we know that among the times where it is likely that your dua will be accepted by Allah is while traveling. Long travel, long journey. Ash'ath Akbar. His hair is mixed up. He has dust all over him. He's in a state of need. He is distressed, which is again more of a reason why Allah will accept this dua. Then he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this man will be raising his hands to the sky, saying, my Lord, Ya Rab, oh Allah, meaning he's asking Allah for things. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, however, he has been fed, he's been eating haram, and he's been drinking haram, and he was nourished with haram, then how is it that his dua will be accepted? Meaning his dua will not be accepted by Allah. Why? Because his earnings are haram. So if we are in the same shoes as this man, then we have a gap and an error in connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our affairs shall not be rectified accordingly, according to the extent of our negligence in terms of how we earn and from where we make our money and where do we spend our money. Halal and haram, very important. While we sit here in this masjid, only Allah knows how many of us can be categorized among those who earn purely lawful wealth, and how many will be categorized among those who earn wrong, unlawful wealth, either partially or totally. And in the case that we are among the second, then again, we remind that the objective of these sermons and the lectures and the reminders is not merely to reprimand us so we will feel bad and go home and cry. But the intent behind them is so we may fix our situation. So we may make a change before it is too late to make a change. So let us deal with somewhat of elaboration on this issue here. Since halal is known, it is known what is lawful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna al-halal bayyin." Halal is clear. You know, when you go out and earn a living, you know when you are engaged in lawful and when you are engaged in unlawful, and you know the doubtful as well, when we don't have any clear text concerning it. But among the calamities that have befallen the Muslim Ummah is negligence and carelessness when it comes to our wealth and how we earn it. So you find Muslims who appear to be righteous. My brother, wherever you find a place, sit. It is not allowed to disturb the people. Yeah, brother, get up and pray two rak'at. Ma'alish, pinch him a little bit. Pray tahiyyat al-masjid, ya akhi. Hello, get up and pray, brother. It's not allowed for you to sit down until you pray. Barakallah feek. This is the sunnah, just in case you're freaking out, saying this brother's dealing off the subject. Part of the sunnah is while you're delivering a khutbah, if a brother sits down, you make him get up and pray. Alhamdulillah that allowed us to implement the sunnah in various times and occasions. So you find Muslims engaging in haram. And among the worst, without a doubt, is riba. So my brother, if you have been working in a bank, an un-Islamic bank, that is, I don't know where the Islamic banks are, and this is not the topic of discussion. However, if you're dealing with some of these banks, and you know that they are dealing with riba, it is unlawful for you to even serve tea at that place. Tea for the employee. Because by you serving tea, you are acknowledging, approving, and aiding in the disobedience that these people are engaging in. So when it comes to the issue of riba, whether buying a vehicle or otherwise, and I'm not going to deal with the contracts and that are being presented by the many dealerships. This is none of my business, and please don't ask me after the khutbah. I'm buying a car from Toyota. Is it halal or haram? Allahu a'lam. You ask the people of knowledge. I'm saying though, if you have been negligent about these issues, if you have been dealing with businesses, and you are engaged in any riba-based foundation, then my brother in Islam, you are declaring war against Allah and His Messenger, and you will be defeated. Because Allah said in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Oh, you who have believed, have taqwa of Allah, and abandon what is left of riba. Any interest which is due to you, don't take it. If you indeed believe, if you don't believe, you won't care. But if you do not, the verse says, then take notice of war from Allah and His Messenger. War. Harb. Harb. Min Allahi wa Rasooli. How will you make it? With what weaponry will you be able to survive? You won't be able to make it. So does one of us declare war against Allah and wish to enter Jannah? Amazing situation. It's amazing how the shaitan is able to fool some of us. Where we have a huge misconception about Jannah and how to enter Jannah. Where we think if we do a number of things here and there, khalas, Allahu ghafoor ar-raheem, brother, I'm going to Jannah. No, my brother. It is not that easy. Jannah requires effort. But we will ultimately go in if we go in with the grace of Allah. Not our effort alone, it is not sufficient. The grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mercy of Allah is among the means and the most important means to enter Jannah. But first, here in this dunya, while we are able, we cannot afford to be under those who are cursed or to be under those who have been declared war against by Allah and His Messenger. And this particular ayah has been reinforced by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, "La'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." The hadith said, "La'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam akil al-riba wa mukilahu wa katibahu wa shahidayh wa qala kulluhum sawa." Allah has cursed the person who pays for riba, the one who pays the interest, and the one who consumes it, and the one who writes the contract only, and the two witnesses. And he said all of them are equal in curse. And this is where we understand the concept of delivering tea will put you in the same shoes as they are. Because he said even the witnesses, they're just watching, saying, yeah, okay, I saw this contract taking place. A man who may be only signing, he said all of them are equal in sin. So my brother in Islam, repent to Allah before it's too late. Repent to Allah before it's too late. Leave alone this business. Leave alone any business which is based on gambling or usury and interest. You don't need it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has promised many alternatives for those who strive in Allah's cause. And I will give you, insha'Allah ta'ala, in the second part of the khutbah, some practical ways to get that in our lives. Among the other means which are unlawful are things pertaining to pornography, naked women, or music, smoking and the likes. And this is a matter which is taken very lightly among the Muslims. So you find a brother, mashallah, he graduated as an IT now. So he starts developing softwares for various companies that have all kinds of haram. It doesn't matter whether it is going to be used Islamically or un-Islamically, he could care less as long as the money is coming. So you will find music on these websites, women on these websites, nakedness, illicit relationships between men and women. Who developed them? Muslims in the Western countries. Muslims are the number one in terms of developing softwares. They run the business. And they are creating the most evil softwares in the world, even though these same skills could have been used to aid Islam and support it. Do you think Allah will give you more money when you try to destroy His religion or when you try to aid His religion? But we don't have enough faith. We get scared quickly. Brother, no one will want to do business with me. I will not be able to survive in the business. Only in the beginning I'll do haram. Then when I have money, I'll start doing halal. It doesn't work this way. Who gave you a promise that Allah will guide you afterwards, or that you will remain alive to change your ways? No guarantee. So what are we doing then? What are we doing? What kind of business are you involved in, my brother? What is your job? What do you do? Do you do things that are forbidden in the deen of Allah? Do you actually earn unlawful money and feed it to your children? And then you wish to enter Jannah and be successful? It will not happen. So we need to be strong. We need to hold on to the rope of Allah altogether as a single brotherhood. We need to wake up from our sleep. We need to put our trust in Allah. If we don't have trust in Allah, we will never be able to abandon the haram. The only time we will be able to abandon the haram and go to that which is lawful is when we trust in Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. It is Allah the one who sustains, full of power, the strong. These are the descriptions that Allah gave to Himself in the Quran. Right after saying, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ. This verse came after Allah saying, why we were created. We were created to worship Him. He does not want us to feed Him, nor does He want us to sustain Him. So don't be too busy with making a living while disobeying Allah and ignoring Him. Because He did not create you to make money so you can feed Him or sustain Him. He sustains you. You do the worship, Allah will provide. You look for the halal, Allah will make ways. But don't lose hope too quickly and don't despair from the mercy of Allah. With patience, things will come. With difficulty comes ease. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Twice. And Allah mentioned usr with the alif lam, meaning it is a single one. Yusra was generalized. With two difficulties shall come abundance of ease. But where are those who believe? I ask Allah to make me and you among those who believe. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. brothers in Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us in another authentic narration, which is graded as Hassan by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now I'm going to give you the narration in English right away. Whoever his goal is this worldly life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall divide his affair and shall place poverty between his eyes, and he will leave this dunya with only that which was written for him. If we have this dunya as our only goal and objective, Allah promised that your affair shall be divided. You will never have stability. You will never feel relaxed and comfortable. It always seems to be that things are going up and down. Why? Because the world, this worldly life, is our goal. Furthermore, Allah will place poverty between your eyes. You will never be happy. No matter how wealthy you become because of unlawful means with which you earn your earnings, no matter how abundant your money is, you will always have poverty stamped between your eyes. You can never go beyond it. You will never be satisfied. And then he said, you will leave this dunya with exactly what was written for you beforehand. Nothing is going to change. If you have been decreed, it has been decreed by Allah that you will earn in this life of yours 58,000 riyals. Whether you do extra effort in haram ways or not, you will make 58,000 riyals only. Only. It's not going to change. It has been preordained by Allah. So why are we going to the haram if our halal risk has been written for us? Then he gave us the example of the second kind of individual. He said, and whoever's goal is the life to come, Allah shall arrange his affairs. Allah shall gather his affairs. Everything will be, it will be intact. Everything will be in perfect proportion with what you want and what is pleasing to you. And he will make you satisfied and content. He will make you satisfied and content, and the dunya will come to you submissively. The dunya will come to you submissively. It's not going to run away. Subhanallah al-Azim. Think about this narration, my brothers. If you don't want to think about it now, think about it when you leave. Think about it. Ponder upon this. What is our goal every morning? When you wake up in the morning, do you actually think in your mind, today I would love to please Allah the best way I can. Today I will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today I will strive to be among the inhabitants of Jannah. Do we have these intentions? Or from the very moment we get up, we start thinking how we will trick our managers and how we will cheat in this area and so on and so forth, thinking we're going to get somewhere with that kind of attitude and lifestyle. Which one are we? Depending on that intention, Allah will make your affairs. So let us have the right intentions. And last but not least, you may be saying, brother, talk is easy. Sitting on this minbar and telling us all that is easy. But I am the one suffering. I am the one whose kafala is under this particular job, and I am forced to work in haram even though I don't want it. I wish to change, but they don't let me transfer my kafala, and the list goes on. I know everyone has a situation, but nothing is too difficult for Allah. Yes, it appears to be complicated because we have not depended on Allah. We have not believed in one verse in the Quran. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Promise, do you believe as you're sitting in this masjid as a Muslim? Do you think Allah will betray you? Do you think Allah will promise you and not fulfill the promise? If you do, you don't understand Allah or Islam. But I'm sure that you believe that Allah will fulfill His promise. He promised you, my brother. He promised each and every one of us. Whosoever has taqwa of Allah. This is the part that we're missing. We're missing the taqwa, but we want the result. We want this prize before we make any effort to earn it and gain it. This is our problem, not Allah's. If the promise If we don't see it manifesting in our lives, let us review at-taqwa. Am I among the muttaqeen? Or am I just a joker? Whoever has taqwa of Allah, listen to the words. He will make a way out for him from every difficulty. Allah will make a way out for you from every difficulty, and He will provide you from sources you do not expect. It won't come from where you think it's coming. It will come from somewhere and someone else, which Allah would have decreed that your sustenance will come through. And whoever depends on Allah, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah is sufficient for him. Allah is sufficient for us. So then, in order for us to be able to get out of the situation we're in, if we are in a situation where we are earning unlawful money, we need to fix our relationship with Allah first. Have taqwa of Allah. Allah promised that He will give you a way out. But not according to your time and my time, according to Allah's time. Our time, we're hasty. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. And the son of Adam was created hasty. He loves to be fast, everything fast. Even when you order a hamburger from a fast food chain, you still want it fast. It's already fast food. You don't have to wait 20 minutes on the table, but we want it fast. Bisura. Before the light is green, people are honking the horn. Ya akhi, where do you want me to go? Let the light become green first, then I will take off. People are hasty. Everything should be done fast. But with Allah, it doesn't happen this way. So when you make dua and you have taqwa, and a week later you're still in the haram job, don't start wondering, why? Why did not Allah give me the promise? Say, be patient. Allah shall bring it about when His wisdom entails so. Allah knows when it is suitable for you and for your situation to be changed. So then I'm calling you from this minbar, my brothers in Islam, and I'm calling myself first before you. Let us change our ways. Let us fix our worldly affairs so our religious commitment will be fixed and rectified, and our hereafter will be fixed and rectified. Whatever works and jobs we are involved in, if they are displeasing to Allah, leave them alone. Allah will give you something better in return. Don't lose hope, because with difficulty comes ease. This is the attitude of the believer. And if you don't believe me, then read the biographies of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and see what kind of individuals they were. And you will see that they lived what we are speaking about today. But unfortunately today we only speak and we are failing to live. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم ارزقنا رزقا حلالا طيبا من لدنك يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين وادخلنا جناتك جنات النعيم واجعلنا من عبادك المتقين واخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. A quick reminder, it is not from the sunnah to raise your hands while I make dua or you make dua during jumu'ah. It is not from the sunnah. And whoever wishes to practice that, we look forward to an evidence from the Prophet ﷺ or the Sahaba that during the time of dua on Jumu'ah, people raise their hands. You will not be able to find it. I'm giving you the information ahead of time, even if you wish to make the research. If this is the case, we should not do it. I make dua without raising my hands, and you say Ameen in a low voice without raising your hands. This is the sunnah. And this is more likely that Allah will accept your dua, because it is according to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jazakum Allah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.